Little Tommy was 3 years old and was desperately interested in visiting his grandmother in Tarbisky City. He knew about airplane rides. He had seen tickets before, and he thought that all that it would take would be to have one of those tickets, and his father or mother could take him to the airport to fly to the distant city. So he promptly sat down, and he made a ticket of his own. He showed it to his mother and said, "Now, can I go and visit them?" And his mother said, "No, that ticket is not acceptable." And yet he insisted. And finally, his father took him to the airport, and he showed his little homemade ticket to the stewardess, and she smiled, and in a very gentle and kind way told him that this would not get him a seat on the airport, in the airplane. Episode number two. As some of you may have noticed, on this very day, 475 years ago, Martin Luther entered the Augustinian cloister. And he heard the heavy, ponderous doors closed behind them. And the purpose, very similar to that of little Tommy, who made his own airplane ticket. And Luther himself tells us that by so doing he had hoped, as he said, to escape hell by becoming a monk. "I was acting in deepest seriousness," he said. "I was one who terribly feared the last judgment, and who nevertheless, with all my heart, wished to be saved." You might ask what do these two episodes have to do with a gospel reading for today. Frankly, they remind us of the bum who sat there at the wedding feast without having the wedding garment on. I remember as a youngster listening to that story, that parable of our Lord, and wondering why, if the king had become so angry that he sent his troops out to destroy those who had refused the invitation, why he had acted so negatively towards the man who did not wear the wedding garment. I think within the context of this particular parable, one can see the reason. Again, this prince who came into the wedding feast deliberately, arrogantly, came in wearing his own wedding garment, refusing his garment of righteousness which the king had prepared for him. This is quite a parable that our Savior is sharing with us this morning. Because he speaks about the very wedding feast in which he personally played such a very, very large part. In the parable, the king says, "My bulls and fatted calves are killed, and everything is ready, come to the wedding." An exquisite feast, a banquet it was indeed. For the king himself had sent his son to become the sacrifice for all those, for the entire world, invited to attend the wedding feast. It cost the life of the son of the king of heaven and of earth, in order to extend an invitation to everyone and to supply them with the robe of righteousness as a fitting wedding garment at the dinner. and the agency of the invitation again and again strikes one as one listens to the words of the parable. Two invitations sent to the same people, and perhaps even more in the Jewish tradition. And in the first time, when this invitation was accepted, the Savior tells us in the parable, and they refused to come. And again, a second set of slaves was sent out to invite them to this great sumptuous banquet. And then the reaction was even worse. Some ignored the invitation completely, as though it had fallen on deaf ears, as though they themselves were deaf. Others walked away after the invitation had been spoken. Some returned to the business as usual, several to their farms, others to their house of business. And then there were still others who reacted so violently to the invitation that they shamefully mistreated those who extended it, and then finally killed them, murdered them. Later on, our Savior was to sit on the hill overlooking Jerusalem and expressing that lament that can feel so easily change the hearts of people as they hear that today. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This gives us time to pause, to ask ourselves what our personal response is to that invitation which comes to us again and again and again. Is it a matter of responding eagerly and joyfully and responsively, even breathlessly? When the invitation of a defeated nation here ignored, the king sent his army, as our Savior's parable reminds us, to destroy those murderers, and he burned their city. But the wedding hall, the banquet hall, that must be filled. And so, these slaves are sent out again into the back roads and into the alleys in order to bring them in so that the house will be filled. And it is at that point that the king, as he looked over that vast crowd who has now caused his banquet room to be bulging with the responsiveness of the people to the invitation extended, that he finds this one person who refused to wear the wedding garment. He said to the king, "If my own righteousness isn't good enough, then I don't want any part of yours either." And there are people of that type, aren't there? You and I have encountered them on any number of occasions. Where individuals will tell us, as you and I express the invitation, "If what I'm doing isn't good enough, then I'm sure that I don't want to accept your invitation." Or how often doesn't one hear the reactions or the comments made, and perhaps there have been times when we ourselves have been guilty of them, "Nobody's perfect. I make mistakes as you do, and let's leave it at that." Even if I've been trying real hard not to repeat them. Or another response that one hears, and that I'm sure that if you are like I am, that we both have been guilty of them is that I, nevertheless, in spite of my sin and in spite of the evil that I have done, I still find that I am considerably better than most. That's the best in each one of us. We choose to wear the righteousness, the garment of righteousness that our Savior has given us, and coming in with our own garments that are just plain, filthy rags, that we have put together like a 3-year-old boy attempting to make his own little airplane ticket. Sometimes one may even feel that it is an insult to preach on this particular topic here in this chapel, because obviously those who have already prepared for the ministry, who are teaching, those of us on the faculty, those of you coming back for summer courses after many years of experience in the place, those who are almost at the point of graduation do not need to hear that invitation. You have already followed it. That's the very reason why we are here together. Yes, it is true. The invitation has been accepted repeatedly by each one of us with a very, very strong yes. I come. I am accepting the invitation. If, as most of us have, accepted this invitation years and years ago, probably even in the very early stages of our life, then this morning, as we hear this parable again, let's respond with great joy, and then say yes again and again, even on this day. Let's hear it with great delight, as we hear once more the invitation spoken over and over again. For you know, we daily sin much, and deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment. Hence, every time this invitation comes to us, we reach out with great joy and delight that it is still being offered to us. What a marvelous comfort is this marriage feast. Particularly as we now translate the imagery of St. Paul, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and that we together constitute the church. In this marriage feast, the bridegroom comes to us, and he says, "Come, I love you." And we, as this church gathered here at this place, at this moment, respond, "Yes, I love you too." And in your grace and forgiveness and blood, we come. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.